Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, with just days to go until the US presidential election, the current President Joe Biden has raised a few eyebrows today by jokingly biting a baby on the leg at a White House Halloween event, while billionaire Trump backer Elon Musk has failed to show up in court over his controversial 1 million voter giveaways. Well, the $1 million voter giveaways. Well, the two candidates, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris, are both heading to Arizona and other states for events today before polling on Tuesday. So to discuss the campaign and where it's all at, we're joined now by Jennifer Ewing, who's spokesperson for Republicans Overseas UK. And Jennifer, you're very welcome to the programme this evening. There's been so many polls in the last couple of weeks and indeed the last couple of months, but one of the newest polls shows the presidential race is pretty much deadlocked in North Carolina, Pennsylvania and Michigan. It really does seem to be down to the wire, even in those, or crucially in those swing states. Do you believe those polls?
You know, the polls are very, very close indeed, you know, all within the margin of error, as they say. If you look at the bookies, it's a little different. They've got Trump ahead. The momentum is certainly in President Trump's favor. But with regards to the polls and the sort of, you know, high-end, high-quality ones, those are, I'd say, still very, very close.
And there's been a lot of celebrity endorsements in recent days, mainly for the Democrats. We saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, former governor of California, coming out for the Democrats this afternoon in an announcement that the singer Cardi B is going to join Kamala Harris at a rally in Wisconsin on Friday. Do you think that matters or energizes the Democrat campaign, talking about momentum?
Well, it didn't work for Hillary Clinton in 2016. So, and Taylor Swift, who came out a little while ago and unsurprisingly went behind Kamala Harris, that didn't move the needle either. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think these celebrity endorsements make a difference at all. And I think most people who are politically involved know to do their own research and check things. If just because somebody knows how to play basketball or to sing or act, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are, you know, that they have the same issues that affect your life. I mean, the two biggest voting issues for Americans this this election are the economy and inflation. And the second one is the crisis we have at the southern border. And I would venture to guess that most celebrities are probably on the more well-off side of things. So they're probably not looking at their gas tank and thinking, oh, I can't fill the entire thing up, or I need to put groceries back when I go to the store, that sort of thing. So no, I think they're very different issue set for the 1%, shall we say.
Okay. Ethnicity, though, and race has played a big part in this campaign, hasn't it? And again, if you're talking about momentum, I wonder how damaged do you think Donald Trump was by one of his warm-up speakers at the rally in New York, referring to Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage?
Well, actually, one of the senators from Puerto Rico came out and has since backed Donald Trump. So as I'm sure you know, but in case your listeners don't, Tony Hinchcliffe is what's called a roast comedian. So they do, you know, he did one famously earlier in the year of Tom Brady. They, you know, they're very harsh on people. To be honest, Sarah, it was not a great choice. Whoever made that choice to have him, particularly because he's not that funny. He was talking about the really bad garbage problem that even Puerto Ricans will admit that they have, especially since the hurricane. But no, I doubt very much if I'm a Puerto Rican person, I'm changing. If I was going to vote for Kamala, I'm still voting for her. If I was going to vote for Trump, I'm still voting for him. That you know, some offbeat comedy act is not going to change your mind.
Yeah, it might not change people's minds, but do you think it could energize people who maybe might not have voted to come out to vote?
No, I don't think so. I think, if anything, the type of things that's going to get people to come out and vote is probably Trump and J.D. Vance going on a podcast like Joe Rogan. You know, it's already had 30 million views. That's the low. What we're looking for right now, as you just said, you know, the people to come out and vote. It's no longer the undecided voters. It's what's called the low propensity voters. So those type of things go after the low propensity voters. And just going back to race for a minute, race has been really interesting in this election, and I'm glad you brought it up, because Trump is doing historically well with Latino voters, both men and women, the best since George W. Bush, and he's also doing very, very well with Black men, who of course vote on, you know, the economy and inflation and, you know, the same issues that we all do. So,
and do you find that surprising,
very, very
Jennifer, given
how well he's doing with and these different things? And if
do you find it surprising how well he's doing with as you say, Latino voters and others, given that he's calling immigrants criminals and rapists and talking about how their blood isn't the same as others' blood?
Well, first of all, that's not true. What he's talking about is the illegal immigration problem that we have in our country, which is true. And you know who gets most affected by that are legal immigrants. So where I come from in California, we have wonderful first, second, third generations of Mexicans who have come legally to the country and are the American dream. And they are the ones that are often, it's their communities that are affected by the crime, the overcrowding in schools from the illegal immigrants. And with regards to that, and I just want to correct the record here because anybody can listen to the full context. When he refers to the blood, what he was talking about is the fentanyl poisoning that's going on due to, you know, the illegal crime and the poisoning of the blood that way. So, that's important to clear up.
So when he said they're poisoning the blood of our country, you say he means what?
Okay, you know how we have a fentanyl crisis in the United States? Fentanyl, it's a drug that even in very small doses.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what he was talking to. If you listen to when he speaks of poisoning the blood, he is referring to the fentanyl crisis due to the Venezuelan and other such gangs that have come illegally into the United States. So that has been wildly taken out of context.
That sounds like a mad explanation to me, Jennifer. I'll read you one of the quotes, and he said it a couple of times, but this is one of the quotes. Illegal immigration is poisoning the blood of our nation. They're coming from prisons, from mental institutions, from all over the world. And you're saying he's referring to a fentanyl crisis?
Yeah, that's 100% what I'm talking about. And he also said, illegal immigration.
What's the difference? Illegal immigration or immigration? They're all still people.
No, Sarah, they're not. We have had, and even Kamala Harris is now running on saying, you know, she will now all of a sudden close the southern border to illegal people. We have a problem. We've got
I understand there's a big issue with illegal immigration in the United States. But to say
okay,
that illegal
that
immigrants are poisoning
okay
the
about?
Blood. Yeah, no, but I understand that there's a problem with illegal immigration. But to say that illegal immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country suggests that illegal immigrants have a poison in their blood that other people don't have.
No, it's not. That's not at all what that suggests. And that's why it's really important. And thank God for social media so people can do, you know, watch clips that are longer. What he is talking about to anyone that understands the issue is the fentanyl crisis killing, you know, it killed over 90,000 innocent people last year. That's, you know, we talk about COVID and this and that. It's a big deal.
Can I ask you about Donald Trump's plan, if he does get in, to give Robert F. Kennedy a lot of control over healthcare in the United States? He said that, and he's talking about Robert F. Kennedy here, he said, I'm going to let him go wild on the food, I'm going to let him go wild on the medicines. Now, Robert F. Kennedy is the person who has compared vaccine requirements with the Nazi Germany era, and he's pushed wild conspiracy theories about chemicals in the water making children gay or transgender. Do you think he's the right person to be put in charge of healthcare in the United States?
I think Bobby Kennedy Jr. Joining the Trump campaign is one of the best things to happen to the campaign all election season. I mean, not only is he Democratic royalty, but what he cares about, and you'll notice this is going to bring a lot of women on board, a lot of mothers on board. We do have a problem in the United States with our food being full of poison. You know, you read the back of it. God, some of it's not even allowed in this country, in the United Kingdom where I live. So it's a really important conversation that Americans are starting to have. And then you take on the other side of that is that, and thank you for bringing up the pharmaceutical industry, because on the other side of it is, okay, well, we've made people quite sick from the poisonous food, you know, full of, you know, this very high processed. And then, oh, we've got a drug to fix that. So it's a very vicious cycle. There's so much money in it. And it's fantastic that Bobby is talking about this along with the woman who I hope runs for governor of California one day in my home state, called Nicole Shanahan.
Along with chemicals in the water making children gay or transgender.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I mean, we do know that the chemicals in some of the water are causing a lot of little girls to start developing earlier.
I'm not suggesting that's true. I'm saying it's a wild conspiracy theory that the person who may be put in charge of healthcare in the United States thinks is true.
Well, you know what? It's a lot of people are starting to look into the just different health issues. So if Bobby is starting a conversation, then good. And if it gets disproven, that's also good. I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea if, you know, the turning people into transgender or whatever. That does sound a bit wild to me. Absolutely. Yeah. But
I don't think you need to be a doctor to know that that's not true. But can I ask you about his former cabinet members? Half of them have refused to endorse him. The most senior Republican senator has described him as a despicable human being. That's a quote. And both his former chief of staff and former head of the Joint Chiefs call him a fascist. Are they all wrong?
Yeah, well, a lot of those people are, I guess you'd call them disgruntled employees, right? And what's important to remember is Donald Trump never expected to win in 2016. So he took a lot of advice from a lot of people, bringing on cabinet members, and he did not want to follow a lot of the rules that were sort of set in place for Washington. So, yes, there were a lot of
the safeguards that would stop you, for example, shooting protesters in the knees, which is something that he wanted to do. There were the rules that he didn't want to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very extreme example. But to answer your question, look, what we're seeing in the United States of America is a total realignment of what's thought to be a Democrat and what's thought to be a Republican. And that's why you've seen some of, as you just mentioned, some former Republicans going over to Kamala Harris's side, because they indeed are like, oh, let's have these wars continue to go on. You know, they have no plan for Ukraine. They don't know what winning looks like. And Trump, on the other hand, has welcomed Democrats. That's Tulsi Gabbard and Bobby Kennedy Jr., along with some others who want the forever wars to stop.
Jennifer, he's talked about the enemy within and getting the Justice Department to go after them.
Well, I think he has been targeted by the Biden-Harris Justice Department, as I'm sure you know because you've covered it on your channel.
There's absolutely no evidence that he was targeted by the Justice Department. None.
Yes, there is. I invite you, please. I really invite you and your listeners to look up what has gone on with the Florida case and some of the other cases, and the Atlanta, Georgia case, and they're all unraveling. And some of it is indeed because there were some, you know, conversations with, say, the Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade having conversations with the White House. So,
all right. Well, Jennifer, I really appreciate you taking the time to have the conversation with us. And we may speak to you again next week when we have a better view on exactly what's going to happen. But thank you very much for taking the time. This is Jennifer Ewing, spokesperson for Republicans Overseas UK.